Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant, like we do every week.
Every week. So relevant.
Every week.
So relevant.
Yes.
Today, we're finally talking about something that's almost not relevant anymore, but
almost not relevant,
sort of, because now we're talking about something related to Marvel, and it's not Eternals right now. Sorry, guys, it's not Eternals. We are gonna finally talk about drumroll, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Shang-Chi.
Okay, yeah, that was awful. So, Aman, you finally watched it. So, I had seen it.
We watched it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ask you a question and then immediately interrupt you. But just quick clarifying thing. I watched it in theaters, but Aman, being a good parent, and since he has a newborn child, is avoiding the theaters right now. And so, he was waiting until it came on Disney Plus. It was supposed to come out on Disney Plus last month, and then they delayed it because they wanted to celebrate Disney Plus Day last Friday.
I mean, fuck you, Disney. Fuck you. I mean, some of us Marvel fans, like, if you're going to create this interconnected universe, how about you show a little bit of love to those of us who need to be a little bit more careful due to the fact that we're still in the middle of a goddamn pandemic, huh?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't know if the majority of people remember that anymore.
Yeah. It's depressing.
Yeah. Well, we can get into that another time. But Aman, you finally watched Shang-Chi.
What did
you think?
So, first off, right off the bat, I did thoroughly enjoy it. Okay.
Great.
However,
it's always I have some
points of disappointment and a couple of things that did let me down, which made me feel like the way everybody was raving about it. And maybe it's because I only saw a few headlines because I've basically been trying to avoid the internet for the last 2 months I feel like it was a little bit overblown. All right. Now, like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I feel like gotten overblown.
The cast was amazing. Simu Liu was great. I mean, I'm a big fan of Kim's Convenience, so I was super excited to see him in the role of a Marvel hero. I think he definitely brought a comedic aspect to the character, which I don't think has ever really been there in the history of the comics. Now, I haven't actually directly read any Shang-Chi comics because it hasn't really been in print for a little while. but I know about the character. I knew enough about the character beforehand, you know, where I think it was a good separation, good bringing in of comedy on Simu Liu's part. And Awkwafina is hilarious, as always, with her awkwardness, hence her name, Awkwafina.
Right.
But so this is what disappointed me, all right? In the opening sequence, where it's showing the Mandarin leading up his army, I thought the CGI effects were a little bit wanting, okay? Like
In the beginning part?
Okay. Yeah, in the beginning part. I think that they would have really benefited by going all out, you know, having actual people building out this battle scene. I think
like Lord of the Rings.
Straight up fucking Lord of the Rings. All right. I mean, I feel like the Mummy did a better job of it than
let's not talk crazy.
Okay. the battle scene just felt very cartoonish, you know? They were trying to replicate the kind of thing that we've seen in movies like Hero, all right, or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where you do have more of these sort of army scenes, but they just didn't capture that magic, I thought.
So, okay, because I haven't seen this movie now in like 2 months, so my memory may not be as good. In my mind, that scene lasted like maybe 10 seconds. Was it longer?
It was a little bit longer than 10 seconds, okay. All right? But it also was the scene that is trying to set the stage for the legend of the Ten Rings part of the title. So it just felt a little less than legendary because of that.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Right? Mm-hmm.
So it set this tone, which I thought was a little bleh.
Yeah.
So that kind of let me down. All right. Also, what the fuck is going on with the Ten Rings? I mean, this is supposed... So the Mandalorian... Or what am I saying? The Mandarin. I'm just going to start calling everybody Mando from now on.
Yeah.
The Mandarin is a classic Iron Man villain. And the contrast here... So, like, if you look at Batman villains... They all sort of represent this counter to a certain aspect of Batman's personality, right? Like the Penguin is like, what if Bruce Wayne was rich, but decided to use his wealth for crime purposes, all right? The Joker is like, what if, you know, you've got Batman who is totally like super disciplined and logical and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the Joker is sort of the counter to that. What if you have somebody who is just completely off their rocker, just as smart with a lot of skills, but completely off their rocker.
Yeah.
You know, you've got somebody like Two-Face, all right? Mm-hmm. What if Batman was a person whose sense of justice became so twisted that they turned out like Two-Face? Yeah. So with Iron Man and the Mandarin, I got it right this time. The counter is that Iron Man is all about the science, right? Yeah. And then you have the Mandarin who has these 10 rings that basically allow him to do magic.
Yeah.
Right? Completely illogical. And each of the rings is supposed to have some kind of a different power or function or something. All right. And in this case, I was like, well, it seems like more like the 10 bracelets now. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Were they supposed to be like rings, like on your fingers?
Yeah.
Rings?
Yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a little confusing for me. You know, I was like, what the hell's going on?
See, I never knew. I don't know anything about Shang-Chi. Never read any of the comics or, you know,
well,
Wikipedia pages of Shang-Chi and stuff. So yeah. I didn't know that. I was like, okay, there's rings. They are ring shaped. Got it. Yeah. Magical. Got it. You know?
Yeah.
So I didn't have those expectations.
Yeah. I had a lot of expectations, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like the thing that disappointed me the most was not Tony Leung's portrayal.
He was awesome.
The Mandarin.
I loved him.
He was amazing. I am going to blame the scriptwriters here for not fleshing out the legend of the Mandarin. Like, they decided to have this character who's been around for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of gave him a very blah backstory that just wasn't at the level of epicness that it should have been.
I would so be down for a Mandarin focused prequel, either a movie or like a Disney Plus series starring Tony Leung, just so we can see more of him.
Absolutely. 100% down with that. He was phenomenal.
He was so good. I was like, wow. Like, I mean, it was just, you can just tell, like, oh right, this is why he's a superstar. You know?
Yeah. And it's absolutely,
it's shocking that this was his first and only so far Hollywood movie that he's been. Maybe he's gotten offers for roles in Hollywood, but he's been like, nah, screw you guys, you seem messed up. So I don't know. But
oh yeah, I mean, his performance was epic. The story for his character was not.
Yeah,
you know, that was the problem. I mean, like, in 1,000 years, what you decided to do was basically have a little gang. Like, are you kidding me?
It was not the epicness of it, of the 10 rings, the organization or whatever that he built, the army, whatever you want to call it. was not portrayed well. You're right. I agree with that.
Like, if you're going to go down this route, what they should have done, okay, is something that DC has already done. Like, the template is there with Ra's al Ghul as the head of the League of Shadows, as the demon's head leading the League of Shadows, all right? And Vandal Savage, all right, who is a character who's been alive for 50,000 years, and turns out he actually just fucking runs everything behind the scenes. He is a one-man Illuminati, all right?
Wow.
Is kind of how it's turned out, you know? And they just, like, they had that opportunity. Like, they have a template there for what would happen if somebody was living for 1,000 years, and they settled on, you know, a guy who's running a global mafia out of Woodland Villa. I mean, that's it.
I don't know. Villa. Well, I mean, they, from my understanding, they were showing it as that, you know, the Ten Rings group organization was going through a evolution throughout time. You know, it started off as like this conquering army going through conquering places, all this stuff. And then as time went on, they became more covert, discreet, all this stuff. And I just figured, but then, you're right. Like, I mean, in the end result, I was like, what do you do? Like, you know what? So, like, who are you? Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know.
It seemed
maybe they were trying to show he also just kind of lost interest. Like, he conquered everything. He's been around for 1,000 years. And then you know, he found love, and love was a new territory for him, new ground for him to explore.
But like, if you give me 1,000 years to build an organization, I'd have a religious cult following me. All right. Which 10 years time is not enough for 1,000-year-old religion to just kind of
cuts
off. You know, like, that's just not how it would happen. Like, it just, I don't know. It was a bit, that background, that backstory was a little bit of a letdown for me.
Well, no, wait, by the time he got married to, I'm totally blanking on her name, but the woman that he loved, Shang-Chi's mom, didn't he say he's giving it all up and stuff? And like, maybe he passed the baton to someone else. And that's why he looks like just some regular dude with the, maybe a gang of close friends, you know?
He did. He said he's giving it all up. But the thing is that you have 1,000 years to build out an organization. To a certain extent, it's going to be self-sustaining.
Yeah. So maybe they just weren't showing that, you know, they were focused on the family life that he was building.
But if half the title of your movie is The Legend of the Ten Rings, you kind of got to show more of it if it's there.
They just mean, hey guys, there's these 10 rings that have these magical powers, and we're going to show you that. And that's what they did.
Which apparently
it's Disney, man. That's what they do.
Which apparently it's potato gun cannon. I mean,
what?
He just shoots out the rings, and he just like launches like a potato gun. And is that like a
phrase people use, or did you?
No,
just
it's an actual thing.
Right,
it's an actual thing, Lena.
Okay.
You make it out of PVC pipes and compressed air, and it shoots potatoes or t-shirts.
Anyway,
it's a thing kids do. All right.
Okay.
Used to, at least.
God. Okay.
Also, the same issue that I had with the beginning of the movie, I also had with the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI.
I really wasn't paying that. I don't know why. At least in theaters, the CGI looked perfectly great to me. And you know what really blew me away was the choreography of the fight scenes.
That is one thing that did not let me down.
That was amazing. And I really was like, Marvel, you did your whole big phase, whatever phase number we're on now, you know, like, and how what phase are we in? Four. Okay. So phase one through three, one, two, and three. I can't talk. Did great, whatever. I was like, cool, y'all have peaked. Like, what else can you show me? I don't know. I'm just going to support really an Asian superhero now. And it really blew me away. I was like, wow, this is incredible choreography. It was really well done.
It was everything that Iron Fist, the show, should have been and wasn't.
That's because they had this random white dude who just... I can't.
I mean, I don't
know.
Agree.
He's a white dude in the comics, whatever. But like, it's
no,
just
no,
like,
I don't agree. I don't disagree with you with that. But there's plenty of white dudes who know martial arts.
Yeah.
You couldn't have gotten a little bit better fight choreography for your martial arts superhero. Like, what the fuck?
That's so true. Did you see those? I think people were tweeting comparison scenes. They were comparing one scene from Iron Fist to like a scene from Shang-Chi.
I have
and
not
it's like,
seen
see
that.
The difference? Like, it's really bad in Iron Fist. So
it was really bad.
I'll find one of those tweets and include it in the show notes or something.
Yes.
I'll send it to you too. It was really funny. Yeah.
I mean, the choreography was fantastic. And I gotta say though, like, for the first Asian superhero movie coming out of Marvel, all right, they threw in all the Asian in there. All right.
Yeah.
I got a lot of Dragon Ball Z vibes. They had the dragon in there. They had Awkwafina in there, which I don't know why that's specific, but it is now.
Uh-huh.
All right, for me. They even had him do the energy ball with the Kamehameha wave. Like, I was like, oh, this is great. And I even got Avatar The Last Airbender vibes in there with the whole airbending thing. And I'm pretty sure they were using the same style of kung fu that they did for the cartoon show, which I know is not technically, you know, anime, but close enough. A lot of Asian influence in that show as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Secret villages.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so this is what I struggle with, right? And I think many people of color struggle with this sort of thing, because the thing is, a lot of those types of stories,
mm-hmm.
I think, have come from older, maybe Chinese folk tales or, you know, whatever, things like that, right?
Yes.
Like, they have some grounding in history, reality, whatever, you know, or stories that have literally been passed down for generations.
Yeah, generational folklore and myth.
Right. And now, but the thing is, because people suck, right? And people have also been racist since the beginning of time. They've also, I think a lot of people, Western people, white people, you know, have used those types of folk stories and those traditions and rituals and turn them in like into stereotypes to use against people of color, kind of, you know? So over time, I'm talking about, right? And
right.
Very racist history and stuff. So now the issue is that how do you tell a story authentically without making it feel like it's filled with stereotypes when really, and you know, like, you don't want to be talking
about genuine.
Yeah, but it's actually genuine and you're trying to like honor this history and bring it to life in a different way and stuff. So
I
really do. Yeah. Cause like, not just with Shang-Chi, but other kinds of stories too that feature people of color. I'm just like, ugh, is this stereotypical or are we honoring our history? I don't know. Yeah. You know, like
hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah.
Hard to tell.
So I get it. I was getting those vibes a bit too, but I was also like, but at least it's Asian people finally doing this, you know, and it's not like.
Who's in the writer's room though?
I think.
I'm not actually sure if they had a full Asian writer's room or not.
It doesn't look like they did, but the director, Destin Daniel Cretton, did also, he was one of the people who came up with the screenplay. There are two other people. One is Dave Callahan and the other is Andrew Lanham. So not Asian.
Could be Asian. I don't know them.
Let me check. Oh, you know what? I think Dave Callahan maybe is. Unclear.
That makes sense. Unclear.
Is.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Great.
I believe he is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the movie felt authentic to me. I never felt like there was any kind of issue on that front.
Well, then what are you complaining about?
No, I was saying it was awesome that they threw in all the Asian into this movie.
Oh, I thought you were complaining about that.
No, that was not a complaint. Oh, that was me loving it.
Oh,
that was me loving the freaking Kamehameha energy ball. All right. And me loving like a recreation from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Great. Oh, wow. Okay.
I was.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought you were.
I was saying it. I love this stuff that they and they like. I love the fact that they just like they're like, all right, we're gonna make the first Asian superhero movie. Let's just go all
Asian. Yeah.
All in on this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what they did. It's similar. I feel like what they did with the Black Panther. You know, they really went all in on the African culture on that one in every aspect. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even T'Challa's crowning at the beginning of the movie,
mm-hmm.
like they filled it with traditional African tribal dancing and everything. Like it didn't feel like some kind of caricaturization. All right.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed picking up on all of the little things that they did. So like when Wu, the Mandarin, meets his wife, you know, that whole dancing fight scene that they have.
Oh, that was so great. I love that.
I got serious Crouching Tiger, Hidden Vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Hidden Dragon vibes and Hero, the movie with Jet Li vibes from those fight scenes. I got those exact same vibes from that scene. Love that scene for in and of itself.
Yeah.
Not really mentioning how it was kind of disappointing in terms of building out the Mandarin as a character.
Right. Well, that's a whole separate thing. Yeah. Yeah, I did like that a lot. There was a lot of just like very nice attention to detail kind of things, which was like you're similarly like you were saying with Black Panther. There was like so much good attention to detail that, and that's what helps it make it authentic, I think, genuine and all that.
So, I do wonder though how Michelle Yeoh is in this village protecting the world from, you know, whatever demon soul sucker thingy, but also is a ravager in space. I don't understand how she's doing both of those things. Like, is there a commute?
Huh?
Remember in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the Ravagers, how there's these different Ravager groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sylvester Stallone was one of them.
Oh, I don't remember her in that at all. Yeah, I actually need to rewatch Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I don't remember it that much.
Yeah, she was one of those.
Oh, that's funny. You could say the same thing. You could say the same thing about Gemma Chan, because she was in Captain Marvel. I almost said Captain Planet, but Captain Marvel, and she was one of the alien, the Kree or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there.
I know. I'm just saying.
And she's in
something I noticed.
Yeah. 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 Whatever. That was cool. Yeah. What did you think of the Shang-Chi and what is his sister's name? Xiaoling's the brother sister relationship. Yeah.
The brother sister relationship. I actually kind of loved how this movie really was trying to be very much centered around family. And the main theme was, in my opinion, what are the responsibilities that we owe each other as family members?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Especially in the face of losing a family member, all right? Mm-hmm. So Xiaoling is very, very much felt like that Shang-Chi owed it to her as her brother to be there for her, to not abandon her.
Yeah, because he had already abandoned her.
And Shang-Chi really felt that, you know, that his dad owed it to his kids to be there for them and not be so focused on getting revenge for his wife's death. Mm-hmm. And when Wu, the Mandarin, felt that his children owed it to him and their mother to help her bring her back. Obviously he's going through a little bit of a delusion there. Mm-hmm. All right. But he thought, so there were a lot of these competing ideas of what is it that each member of the family, what it is that they owe the other members of the family. And I thought that was a very, very interesting conflict, which owed more time spent on it than it did. Yeah. But then again, it's also a Marvel movie, and like, you know, the shit's got to make way for the action sooner or later.
Yeah, we got to fit in the dragon, you know.
We got to get the dragon. You got to get your giant light show fight scene in.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really looking forward to the sequel that,
yeah,
hopefully they'll build more on stuff, all this
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one thing that they really didn't portray well, I thought, in the movie is, and I feel like there was a lot of chatter about this before the movie came out, that, oh, Shang-Chi is supposed to be the greatest martial artist ever. Like,
yeah,
he is supposed to be at a skill level that can demolish Daredevil, and even completely demolish Iron Fist. I mean, not the Netflix version of Iron Fist, but like the comic book and cartoons version of Iron Fist, who's actually good at martial arts, you know?
Right.
Like, Shang-Chi is supposed to be next level. Uh-huh. All right. And I feel like they didn't quite show that. They didn't quite show how he is somebody who should be able to defeat anybody in the Marvel universe in hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
All right.
Well, I wonder if they were also just trying to, like,
I mean, it's an origin story.
Yeah, it's an origin story. He's also been, the audience, meet Shang-Chi at a moment where he has been, for the past however many years, trying to run away from his past and who he really is, right?
Yes.
So, yes. And yes, they showed him still doing his push-ups and like maintaining his figure and whatever. So that's good. But
might I say, what a figure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
For all those fools who are like, is Simu Liu attractive enough to be Shang-Chi?
Yeah, for
yes,
real.
He is. Yes, he is. Objectively speaking, yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
So the thing is, we meet him at this point, right, where he's like, he's not really sure of himself, what he's doing. You know, he's a valet person, whatever. I'm blanking on the name. You know, like he's just kind of meandering through life right now. He has no purpose. And I think when anyone is feeling stuck or lost like that, they are not performing at their best at whatever it is.
True.
And so I think that's what they were kind of trying to show. But they also, you know, like the spontaneous attack on the bus, you know, like, and on
I mean, they show him as being an amazing fighter for sure.
And didn't his dad, Wenwu, didn't he say at some point, you know, Shang-Chi is fighting one of his like right-hand man or whatever. And Wenwu was like, I told you, you would never be able to beat him or something like that, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
So they threw in things like that, indicating like, okay, he's good. But
there is a 3 to 5 minute segment that they could have put into the movie that would have established him as somebody who is, by natural talent, a next level martial artist.
Right? I think they were doing that. And
no, but when he entered that, the caged fight, all right. If they had added in one fight sequence where he defeated somebody who was superpowered, all right, like chucking fireballs or something, all right.
Yeah.
Would have helped.
Did they have anyone with superpowers anyway? And
they had Abomination and Wong fighting.
I don't remember, man. I saw this movie 2 months ago. Okay.
Oh my God. You had Wong fighting basically the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, in the cage?
In the cage.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. My God. How'd you forget about that? That was like Abomination's first showing since the original Incredible Hulk movie with what's his face?
Well, they didn't have time to throw in another fight. He had to fight his sister. Okay.
Then
we also had to see how good she is, too. So
yeah,
there was a lot to establish.
And that would have covered both, you know, a quick
defeat. Again, they can do that in the next movie, you know, like this doesn't move this particular story forward by throwing in some extra scene like that.
I know it would have for me. I'm just saying.
Come on, you just are throwing in personal preferences now, okay? Jeez.
I am throwing in a lot of personal preferences because I'm still bitter at what they did with the Mandarin.
Yeah, I just give Tony Leung an entire Disney Plus show or an entire movie to himself. I think a show would be great, but
I think so too.
Yeah.
Each episode taking place in a different century.
Yeah.
There's your pitch. There's your pitch, Kevin Feige.
Yeah, that
let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Each episode takes place in a different century, with the Mandarin being a badass and expanding and growing his power throughout the millennia. Can we just say, can we also just speak to the building out of the character of Wong as a lover of pop culture and music?
Yeah, I love it. That was great. That post-credit scene was great. I was confused about, we were texting about this, but why was Bruce Banner not as smart Hulk? Why was he, you know, portrayed as Mark Ruffalo being normal?
They didn't explain that at all. I'm hoping that they explain what happened after Endgame, where he reverted back to human, basically.
Yeah, did he? No.
Apparently, not in the movie, but
in an Endgame during
he was still Hulk
Tony's body. Funeral, was he still Hulk?
Yeah, body? Yeah, he yeah. was. Yeah, he was still Hulk body. Now. So I'm guessing there's maybe an explanation that's going to show up in the She-Hulk.
I feel like it was a goof. Like they just forgot.
Well, it's a pretty big fucking goof if they don't explain it in She-Hulk.
Maybe they were just like, dude, we don't have the time or energy for this. So just be yourself. Like,
I mean, they basically had to hologram him anyways. How hard would it have been to pull up the old code that they already had for Endgame and just stick that in there?
I genuinely don't know because I don't work in any sort of CGI or special effects. But yeah. But you're right. I don't think.
I mean, the framing is still there. There's no way they're going to like ditch that code.
Yeah. What did you think of the post-credit scene with Xia Ling? Where it seems like she's taken over.
I love
the army or whatever. Yeah, I loved it too.
I love that because, you know, that is how they build out her character as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, she ends up, you know, not hating her brother that much, or at least not hating him enough to
try. I don't think they hated each other at all at the end. They like saved each other's lives on the dragon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That even though, I mean, at the beginning, it was a very intense, she very much hated him.
No, yeah, I know. I'm talking about the end.
But the thing is that it still worked perfectly, in my opinion, because she was still that same girl who said that if my father is not going to let me into his empire, I'm going to create an empire of my own.
Yep.
You know, and now her dad is gone and now she has a chance to take over her dad's empire. Right.
There's a vacuum. There was a power vacuum.
And she did exactly what you would expect her to do, given the way her character developed.
Right. I loved it.
So I thought that was great.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I mean, that mountain villa is still there. Why not capitalize on that shit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll run her operations from there. I wonder what she's going to do with the Ten Rings organization, though. Like, what's her plan? Are we going to, like, fight against crime or partake in it? You know,
I'm guessing more partake in it because this is somebody who developed us.
Maybe a little of both.
Well, this is somebody who, when she struck out to build her own empire, decided to build an underground superpowered fight ring?
Yeah, but it's not like she's not forcing anyone to do that. I don't think.
Still an underground fight ring.
So that's just cool. I wouldn't call it criminal. Criminal, in my mind, is like engaging in like human trafficking.
It's still technically illegal, so
fine, whatever.
Thus a crime.
I'm using criminal as more like an adjective to describe like morally bad behavior.
See, if they had built out the legend of the Ten Rings as an organization, it would have helped us to know what her mission is. Because right now, we don't actually even know what the mission statement is of the Ten Rings. I don't know what she's planning on doing with this group. It would have been nice if they had thrown that in there, you know? Like in the DC universe, the League of Shadows is trying to propel mankind forward. And in some cases, that means
it's a very vague mission statement. What does that mean?
Sometimes it means getting rid. I mean, it's the League of Assassins, all right?
You could say that's NASA's mission statement too, to propel mankind forward.
It is, but but in the eyes of the League of Shadows, it's like, it's like, you know, oh, Gotham is now too decrepit. We need to just end that city so that something better can come up in its place. You know, at least in the Batman movies, they were like, we're the ones who allowed Rome to fall. You know, we set the 1620 fire of London, you know, to burn down that city so that something better could come up in its place, because it was just like, it was too decrepit. Gross. Basically. And, you know, trying to lead humanity in a upward direction by doing all the bad stuff.
Yeah. They're playing the long game.
They're playing the long game. Yes, yeah. It is vague, but there is a twisted sense of altruism. Like, there is a mission there.
I get it.
Besides just being a hired gun, you know.
Yeah. And it's not clear to us yet what is the mission in general of the 10 rings.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that would have been nice to know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool.
Well, any other last thoughts? Maybe, Lena, how do you feel that, do you think that this has done, this movie has done something similar to what one of our favorite shows has done, specifically for like the Asian community in America and around the world, like the show Warrior?
So the thing is, I think,
or like Black
short
Panther,
answer, though. Short answer is yes. I think representation in general is a very good thing and has makes a bigger difference than people realize. Agreed. I don't think it, you know, served the same purpose as Warrior. Warrior, for example, while yes, it is a fictional story they're telling with fictional, mostly fictional characters. Some of the characters are real, actually, from Warrior, people who actually existed. But, you know, the fact that it takes place in Chinatown, San Francisco, you know, like, these are real places.
Right.
That people, the characters that they're portraying, you know, they represent real people that actually lived and stuff. So that is already based in reality, whereas Shang-Chi has, like, you know, magical rings in it.
Let me rephrase my question, though. So Black Panther, when Black Panther the movie came out, I feel like that did something for the African-American community.
I was getting to my point, Aman.
Oh, sorry. Do you think Shang-Chi had that same impact?
Yes, I think it did. I'm saying it just didn't do it in the same way, because Warrior was like a history lesson kind of. But this is like, you know, I think it's going to have a huge impact, especially on kids. And finally seeing themselves as superheroes, whereas especially in the history of Hollywood, Asians have always been the butt of the joke. They're portrayed, the men especially, are always portrayed as effeminate, as weak, and the women are hypersexualized, all this stuff. So I think it's just very refreshing and good, especially for kids, to see something new like this.
Agreed.
Yeah. Something genuine. So yeah, I think it's making a big difference, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more sequels. And I'm really looking forward, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, whatever, that they will have more lead characters that are Asian. Let's not have Shang-Chi be the only one. Let's not have Black Panther be the only Black superhero, you know, like, come on. So, yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Oh, I forgot one other thing they had thrown into this movie, Tokyo Drift. This movie also had Tokyo Drift.
Which part?
Remember when she's driving the car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great. Yeah.
And on that
note. That was awesome. On that note. Great. As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you all next week.